The dawn of a new era. Even more of what you asked for from your talk radio station.
It's Glenn Beck.
The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
New shows and more news.
Now on North Central Florida's talk leader, 97.3.
The Sky.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. Another day in paradise. We're here to make Mondays great. It is 9:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Your top story right now, we're going to talk to the First Lady of Florida. Good morning, Casey DeSantis. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. I got three kids out the door this morning to school with no incident, so it's a good morning.
Wow, now you can actually breathe for a minute. And I know, because I helped to raise three, and that's a handful. But I know we're going to talk about a couple amendments, and this is what I got to tell you. I was all over the place in it. You've got some Leos, some law enforcement saying yes, some saying no. We're talking about Amendment 3 in the weed. But former President Trump say yes. Your husband, who I respect greatly, says no. Back and forth. I guess for me, the big takeaway was I just want to be kind of free from the government involvement, which would go along with the free Florida and this freedom that we have that, you know, your husband speaks of. So what's your take on Amendment 3?
Yeah, for sure. So this really isn't about freedom, and I can get to that in a second. This is about one company using our Constitution to guarantee themselves revenue in perpetuity. What they couldn't do through the legislature, they're trying to hijack our constitutional system to be able to give themselves market share. This is a company who spent more than $100 million to get onto the ballot, not because they believe about what's good for the state or they believe in about freedom, and I'll get to that, or they believe in the well-being of families or children. They want to be able to make a buck. You're not going to invest $100 million in something out of the goodness of your heart. So they say, okay, this is about freedom. Well, when they wrote this constitutional amendment, they said in it, you can only buy their product. So if this is about freedom, why can't you grow it at your house? Well, that's illegal. And by the way, this is particularly egregious, and it's not going to be in the ballot summary. You actually have to go and read the constitutional text. They give themselves liability protections in every part of the process. Cultivation, distribution, everything in between. If you use their product, which is constitutionally required in this amendment, let's say you get sick or have a seizure, it's tainted, or you get hit by one of their trucks, they have given themselves blanket immunity for protections from being sued civilly. So that's problematic. But what about the freedom of the people who don't want this marijuana smoke in their face? Under this constitutional amendment, there is no limit on public use. So you're sitting out at a game with your children, you're watching a baseball game or Little League, or you're at a park or you're at a pool or the beach or a restaurant or whatever, coffee out on a sidewalk. The law enforcement would not be allowed to do anything to prohibit it because it is a constitutional right. And the legislature, as people will say, well, can't the legislature just come in and do something? No. The legislature is rendered powerless to be able to correct it. And then what about the safety argument, right? They say, oh, this is safe. We'll do it because it's regulated. What happens, and this has happened everywhere it's been tried, look at all of these different states, talk to the people who are fleeing places like Colorado and New York and California and coming here. It leads inevitably to a black market because you're taxing a product, it becomes regulated, it becomes more expensive, and the black market comes in underneath and just undercuts all of that. And if you think that people in the black market care about cleanliness and safety, you've got another thing coming. So of course this stuff is going to get tainted with fentanyl. Of course it's going to be problematic. And then they say about revenue, oh, we're going to generate a lot of revenue. Nowhere in the text of this constitutional amendment does it say anything about raising any money for education and law enforcement. And you invoked law enforcement in the beginning. Overwhelming number of sheriffs and police officers across this state are saying absolutely no. But this is also, too, about precedent. If you allow one company to essentially buy market share in perpetuity, what's next? This isn't about your well-being. And look at all the people that have fled all of these states to come here. I haven't even talked about the kids. As a mother of an 8, 6, and 4-year-old, going into it, as the governor says, always eyed wise open is important, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, where has this been done where it's been beneficial for our kids? It hasn't. The data's clear, leads to schizophrenia, psychosis, these gummies that they consume. California had a 445% increase to the poison control hotline for marijuana-related incidents because this stuff becomes more prevalent in society. So it's extremely problematic.
shouldn't the legislature kind of had this off at the pass? If they would have dealt with it and said, look, you can grow your own at home in small quantities, you can't smoke it in public, they could have put it all together. But I think they lack some kind of courage and conviction in that area. This should have never been on the ballot.
Well, you say, like, you know, the freedom argument, and that's a fair one. And again, this constitutional amendment doesn't allow in any way anybody to cultivate this at their house. It is illegal. But currently, we have a regulated medical marijuana industry up and running in the state of Florida. We have about 900,000 people who have medical marijuana cards. I have not heard of anybody who complains about not being able to get one of those cards, but it's regulated, right? And there's also not this blanket public use portion in there. So you don't have to have your rights being infringed by somebody blowing marijuana smoke in your face or having it around your kids. So Florida has obviously marijuana now. I mean, you can drive down the street, you can see the number of products and storefronts that are selling it. So we have it. It is available for those who want it. But to do this is about corporate greed. To do this would be also to inviting people from all over the country to come here, because if you look at the Southeast, you see that there are no recreational marijuana constitutional amendments or any legislation within those states. So people would be coming here. So theoretically, you're sitting on the beach with your family and enjoying it, and somebody comes and lights up and smokes next to you. They're probably not even from the state of Florida, but they'll be coming here. And then you talk about the revenue, right? Well, what about all of the increased problems that we see as a result of this from people fleeing California? Like, I don't want to California my Florida, but look at the increased cost of services. Look at the other problems that we're seeing with our kids. So overall, bad policy, bad way of going about this, poorly written amendment, never should have been on the ballot, because again, when you're looking at that summary on the ballot, it is not a representation of what the actual text of the constitutional amendment says.
And I appreciate that. But before we run out of time, let me get your take on Amendment 4.
Yes. Also one extremely problematic for the state of Florida. Vote no on 4 and 3. This would be the most extreme constitutional amendment as it pertains to abortion, certainly in the country, but around the world, probably on par with 9 countries like China. It's very vague in their definition. There are no definitions. It's very vague, no definitions. So it would, in essence, do 3 things. One, allow abortion up until the moment of birth, because they say viability, but they don't define what that means. They take the physician out of the equation, because people will say, well, this should be a conversation between a woman and her physician. But in this, it says, as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. So with no definition, what does that mean? A provider can be a tech, can be a receptionist. So you're literally taking the doctor out of the equation in a constitutional amendment, again, that cannot be undone by the legislature. And then this is the third part that is particularly egregious. They say change the legislator's constitutional. It does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification. That is a sleight of hand. They are taking away consent of parents and putting in notification. This would be the only procedure undergone by a minor in the state of Florida that would not require parental consent. Heck, you can't even give my kid a Tylenol without them calling. Then they're going to be getting an abortion up until the moment of birth by a provider, not a doctor, and not giving the parents the ability to be able to be a part of this discourse. I mean, it is extremely radical. It is extremely extreme. No definitions, very vague. And so these two are problematic for the state of Florida. That's why I implore everybody who is listening, do your research. As the governor says, go in eyes wide open, vote no on 3 and 4.
Well, First Lady of Florida, Casey DeSantis, you got it all out there, and we appreciate your time. And you got rid of the kids. I thought you could breathe, but now you can breathe.
It's always nice to talk to somebody older than the age of 5. I'm not going to lie. Thanks for having me.
Hey, and you take care. We appreciate what you're doing.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. It is 9:16. We still have a lot of issues we're going to try to cover, and I'm going to give you the code word so that you can possibly win tickets for the upcoming Ocala Food and Wine Festival this weekend at the World Equestrian Center. Don't go anywhere. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Food and wine, not just food and wine, good, really good food and wine. It is the spectacular Ocala Food and Wine Festival, the fourth annual. We've got tickets for the Grand Tasting that takes place on Saturday, and I know you will enjoy it. I mean, I've got celebrity chefs there, and it's just world-class. Well, that's what they do, the World Equestrian Center. And if you want in on the tickets, text Ocala to 20357. That's Ocala. Text that to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Grand Tasting Saturday at the World Equestrian Center. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. But good luck on that one. By the way, the event itself goes on Friday through Sunday, and so there's a lot going on there. The tickets themselves, though, particularly are for the Saturday event.
We've been to this, and it is always an amazing event, isn't it?
It really is.
They do everything first class.
Yeah. I mean, they even have little seminars, some like cooking on the side, even some folks that teach you how to make some certain drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can be, you know, an even better host.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun. Enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. What do we have here? Oh, yeah. We've touched on this, but it's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Talking about President Trump and his Nazi rally, basically.
The new talking point, right?
Yeah, she was okay. on CNN, and she said, Trump is actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939.
See, that's just crazy.
President Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lined up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore it. You know what's interesting? Think about that. The change in the government, and then the Nazis won. They allowed they had a propaganda machine, and they were able to convince the people and to bring change. And it turns out not for the better. Mm-hmm. But people say, yeah, let's start a Holocaust, and yeah, let's start a big war, and let's kill a lot of our, you know, male population between, you know, 17 and 49. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They didn't vote for all of that.
No, they didn't.
Who are the ones that are trying to be shady and deceitful and say, yeah, this will be, you know, good change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this will be social justice. It's the left. The left is doing more what Nazi Germany did. Yeah. They're pulling you their way. They want to change the things, the way the Constitution operates. Look, they talked about packing the Supreme Court.
Yeah, she, you know, but Kamala's sneaky. Well, maybe not sneaky, but she tries to be subtle. Instead of coming out and saying, well, yes, I want to pack the Supreme Court, she uses phrases like, well, you know, that's something that we should look into. Kind of like what she did with reparations. We should study that. That just means she's all in on it.
And you've got the same thing. So that was Hillary doing her bit, right?
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, okay, Tim Walz, it's your turn.
Oh, no.
What are you going to say? I'm going to say the Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden was an attempt to reenact a Nazi rally held there in the 30s. Well, that's perfect.
Wow. How original.
Yeah. Where'd you come up with that?
Okay.
You sent me a memo like 20 minutes ago.
Yes.
Well, okay. Don't miss on this. Go to your Google on this. Donald Trump's got this big rally going on at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s in Madison Square Garden. And don't think that he doesn't know for one second exactly what they're doing there.
What's the parallel? They were in the same building?
Yes.
But how many people have been in that building since the 1930s with rallies?
Millions. They had the Boston, they used to play basketball there in New York.
It's just...
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
how?
I mean, it's a venue that has been that venue's been used for 100 years or more.
But you know, could Kamala fill that place? No. So, but to go, there's a parallel, and he knows what it is. Well, then tell us what the parallel is, please. But they don't.
The New York Knicks still play there, and most recently, Billy Joel was playing there, like they call it a residency type tour.
He did great.
So he was playing there for several years.
Was there a parallel between that and Nazi Germany?
No. And the interesting thing is that Hillary claims something about it in her book.
Yeah.
But she got the date wrong. She said 1939.
Right.
It wasn't. It was way back in 1933. Mm. Anyway, Oh, I'm sorry. Nope, I need to be corrected. 1933, Jews held an anti-Nazi rally there way back in 1933.
So why couldn't the line of connection be to that rally as opposed to the Nazi rally?
Well, that would make more sense because there's never been a more pro-Israel president than Donald Trump. And I mean, I dare anybody to challenge that because it's not even close.
No. Yeah.
So
Abraham Accords, anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And
that's
where,
amazing.
Where we moved our, you know, our offices to?
Tel Aviv?
Yep. No.
Jerusalem?
Jerusalem, yeah.
Not Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem. Yeah, it's such a tacky approach. And again, they don't know their history anyway, and they wouldn't care. They're not going to get it right anyway.
Yeah, the Nazi rally was 39, but the Jewish rally against Nazis was 33. So 1933, wow. There were enough to get people together to recognize that bad things were coming.
Yes.
And it, 6 years later, I mean, I guess they were completely right in everything.
But isn't
that
it
they
sad that just a few years later, they could pack that building in America?
In America.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we're still coming out of a deep depression. Mm-hmm. And so, the 1930s, people became desperate.
Yeah.
Well, and look at what happens when you're desperate. When somebody promises you a better life, a better way, says they're, you know, they're paying off your school loans, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And all the other things that they do, and then people become desperate because of actual things the government itself did. So it makes life tougher on people. They become more desperate. What do? Literally, they'll vote for anything. This is how banana republics, one leader comes in, says, you know, I'll give you all this. And then they go, okay, and they vote them in. And, the cycle just continues. When
anyone?
Yeah, people vote in who is ever going to give them stuff, but it'll never get them out of their sense of poverty and desperation.
No.
That's the thing. And I think that there are some members of the Democrat Party that are figuring that cycle out, like those of color in the Hispanic and Black
Absolutely.
Communities. They're starting to figure that out. They're like, hey, we keep voting those people in because they keep saying they're going to do something for us, but it doesn't seem like much ever changes because it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, well. Tim Walz.
He's weird.
And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been to do the best I can.
Yeah, he's a knucklehead.
He could be on Saturday Night Live and they'd say, look, we're going to have fun tonight. And you could stay in character.
Just be yourself, Tim. Be yourself.
No pressure. Tim, just be yourself. And we'll do our skits around it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
It is approaching 9:28. And you are listening to The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up in about 15 minutes, things that make you smile. So stick around for that. 97.3 The Sky. Oh, the facts get in the way. They do indeed.
You mean of a good agenda?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 9:30. We'll call it 9:35 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe and you're in. So this, I guess, fake controversy that the left is trying to perpetrate, saying, hey, the Nazis were in Madison Square Garden and they held a rally in 1939. And Trump's doing a rally in the same place. Oh, my God, it's like the same exact event. Yeah. If somebody made a little bit of ice in the corner, would it be just like a hockey game?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, thanks to a learned caller, this building, I thought it was one of the oldest. It is still one of the oldest, sporting and music buildings in the country.
Right.
But that's the latest rendition, which opened in 1968. Okay? 1968. 1939? No. But there were other buildings and other venues. Okay? This Madison Square Garden that we know of today is actually the fourth venue
Really?
To bear the name. Wow. The first two opened in 1879 and 1890, respectively. Okay? And it was actually leased out by, I believe it was P.T. Barnum. Yeah.
Really?
He leased it out. Yeah. He leased it out. Wow. And that was demolished in 1890 because of a leaky roof and dangerous balconies that had collapsed, resulting in deaths. The second, designed by Stanford White, supposed to be a well-known architect, the new building was built by a syndicate that included J.P. Morgan, Andrew Carnegie, P.T. Barnum, Darius
wow.
Mills, James Stillman, and W.W. Astor. White gave them a structure with a Moorish feel, including a little tower, the bell tower of Cathedral of Seville. It was kind of modeled after that.
That's cool.
And anyway, a third one was built, and that opened in a newer location, and that opened in 1925. And that was theater architect Thomas Lamb.
So that's where these other events would have been, in that building.
Yes.
Built in the 20s. Okay.
Yes.
Makes sense.
And it actually is not even the same piece of land.
Oh, wow.
Demolition commenced in 1968 after the opening of the new one. So the new one opened, the old one was still standing, and then they mowed it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so, again, facts get in the way of a good agenda.
Yeah. The same building. The same music.
Right. It's even Hitler.
It's
channeled by Donald Trump.
Isn't it crazy?
It really is.
Hollywood star, native New Yorker Alan Barkin has demanded a boycott of Madison Square Garden for the crime of hosting the latest rally for former President Donald Trump.
Wow, the crime.
In doing so, the actress pushed the left's Nazi rally smear, even though numerous Jews were seen in attendance at Sunday's rally, which drew a full house, of course.
Yeah.
She even made the ludicrous suggestion that he plans rounding up Americans and putting them in concentration camps.
Wow, these people.
Yeah.
And these are people who, in America, are put on a pedestal, and their opinions are supposed to mean something because, as you put it, they are the modern-day court jesters of our society.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of them suffer from that Trump derangement syndrome. Robert De Niro came out again, you know, for Kamala. I mean, he was just, you'd have to bleep out half of what he said. The man is so completely angry and just ugly. Just very, very, very ugly in his language. I mean, if you see somebody speak like that, you go, that's a little over the top. There's really something wrong with that person. Yeah, that's where it takes you. Hey, more positive stuff, though. You got the World Series on tonight. If you're a Yankees fan, man, you need it. You're down 2-0.
Ooh.
Dodgers looking good. And Ohtani sliding into second base looked like he hurt his shoulder pretty bad. But it turns out, he's playing tonight. He may have still hurt it, but he's playing. And hopefully he'll be all right. And it'll be another great game. My goodness, was the first one ends with a grand slam home run. That is just, wow. And I need it. I need a little bit of relief from this grind as we count down to election day. The good news is we're breaking all kinds of records with early voting. I think that that's a good sign for Trump. I think that's a lot of Republicans that are coming out that aren't waiting till the last minute. Now, apparently males aren't as timely or don't go as early as women. I guess I heard that stat on our news, I think. But nonetheless, breaking records, people are doing it. I would suggest early voting. I did it. Greg did it.
Yes.
Because I frankly, I'm concerned about other events that could take place that might somehow interfere with the process. And I want to make sure that I get in there and my vote counts. And everybody's vote counts. We had a call from a woman earlier who was concerned about her kids. I think her two daughters and one of their boyfriends, who said, oh, what difference, you know, will it make? The vote's not really going to count, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, well, you know, what can I say to them? Now, what can you tell them? I just said, you know, a lot of these things are extremely slender margins.
Yes.
And it really could. A few votes could make a difference one way or another, especially the more local you get.
Absolutely, because again, where the numbers are smaller, or you look at someplace like Gainesville, for instance, we see the small percentage of voters that actually take the time to vote, even though they're registered. As we have said, and you have been saying for 20 plus years, if people would actually vote, they could turn the tide on some of these positions.
Yeah, it really is,
but
Matt.
If they stay at home and don't bother, we keep getting the same thing over and over.
And maybe you are supportive of Trump, but you say, "Oh yeah, it looks pretty good. The polls look pretty good. I don't have to do it."
Yeah, but what about commissions and what about amendments and what about the sheriff? And you go down the list. There's a lot of important people you need to vote for.
Well, all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it really is important.
You go down the list.
But don't sit thinking that your candidates are going to win. I don't care what the polls say.
No.
And wouldn't it be nice if there was an overwhelming win?
We need that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do need that.
We do as a nation. I mean, yeah, you're still going to get, a percentage that are going to be really, really, they're going to be upset no matter what. But it would send a message, I think, maybe to the elites to say, you know what? They're not buying into your baloney anymore.
Right.
They're a little bit smarter than you're giving them credit for. And I hope it's a blowout, a complete blowout.
And outvoting the opportunity for them to cheat is also another really important reason.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. And man, oh man, if Trump does get in there, does he not have his work cut out for him?
You know, he does. But, the good thing is because he's been there, done that, we've talked about it before. Those first few months, he didn't know who to trust. He had people around him he couldn't trust. They weren't looking out for his best interest. He's going in with eyes wide open this time. He knows what to look for, who to look for, and how to handle that swamp.
He's got some good people around him, like Elon Musk, some good, smart people that are not politicians.
Right.
I think could be very helpful this time around. I mean, hey, man, Brett Favre is going to speak at a Trump rally in Green Bay. And that's coming up on Wednesday. And, he says, look, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you name it. If you think you were an American citizen, I think if you're an American citizen, you'd agree that Donald Trump cared about you first and foremost. I don't know if our current president has the same mentality, he said.
Mm.
He put it pretty well. He says, my vote is for what makes this country great. Freedom of speech and religion, the Second Amendment, hardworking taxpaying citizens, police and military. In this election, we have freedom of choice, which all should respect. For me and these principles, my vote is for Donald Trump. Favre put that out on X. And very well said. I mean, he covered the bases. And it's positive. It's not upbeat. He didn't say, Kamala is the devil. Because he lets me say that.
Exactly. Well, somebody's got to. She didn't want no Jesus at her rally.
Deception, man. Sure. Deception.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Who's telling it like it is and who is trying to deceive you? Who's got to talk you into voting for them by scaring you and making up lies about their opponent instead of presenting a better plan?
Right.
What's the plan? The plan is Kamala gets into office and then turns the ship even further to the left.
Ugh.
You're putting even more burden on our, social networks that are really stretched to their capacity because of illegal immigration. And that was clearly allowed and made happen as soon as Joe Biden got into office. Has anybody really asked her a more direct question? When the whole idea, she's been asked about the border a million times, but have they ever said, wasn't it executive orders that opened the border to begin with? And then she'll squirrel around and you say, you undid what Trump had in place, like wait in Mexico for your asylum hearing. And again, I'm not saying of course she won't answer it. But has anybody actually laid that out? That executive orders did exist, it did make a difference, and that executive orders could have been put back in at any time during this process. And yet the administration has failed to do that. And, and the only reason why is because it's what they wanted. I just want to make sure that people go in, yeah, with their eyes wide open and know that the open border thing's not an accident.
No.
Somebody didn't kick a switch and all of a sudden all the gates opened.
Mm-mm.
No, that's not what happened at all. This was measured. This was put into action by these NGOs and other operatives all around the globe. Otherwise, you wouldn't get people from 110, 115 different countries crossing the southwestern border.
Coming from the Middle East?
Yeah.
China? That's a long way to south side of Mexico.
Yeah. Flying on airplanes, showing up and not looking destitute, dirty, desperate at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So,
but wasn't it an interesting process where, you know, when she gets up and she's running and she says what she's going to do, the kickback on that was, well, why didn't you do it already?
Right.
Well, then the defenders, well, she was only the vice president, so she couldn't really do anything. And then what Joe come out and do? Oh, she was
part of all our big decisions.
So we go back to again now. Why hasn't she or why isn't she doing any of the things that she says she'll do if she gets elected? But, you know, kind of busy right now with the campaign, so I can't really fix anything right now, I guess.
Yeah, and then you had Michelle Obama saying, you know, she's ultimately qualified, doing the job and all this and all that. It's like, what are you basing that on? What has she done? She was a border czar, clearly failed in that one.
Yeah.
What has she done? Have you seen anybody go, she did this and this and this and this? Mm. Can't list them.
No.
From the party that's going to save democracy.
If we
here's
were
your candidate
one.
That has we not one. Been put into this position in a way that, you know, the Constitution really was... had a preference for.
So if it were a democracy, that would have required there to probably be that thing called, voting. Votes for her to get her in that position.
Yep. Senator John Fetterman recently spoke about the support he's seeing for former President Donald Trump in his state. During an interview, New York Times, Fetterman was asked why he believes Trump appeals to the states, to the swing states' residents. You know, and you got to be careful when you answer something like that, because what are you going to say? Oh, a lot of my constituents are stupid.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's not going to help.
But he said, look, he said he acknowledged it, that it exists. He said, look, you spend any time driving around, you can see the intensity. It's astonishing. You can see these superstores popping up with all the Trump stuff. Buildings 100 feet long, dozens of T-shirts, hats and stickers. Yeah. And he says, yeah, it's the real deal. The excitement is real. 9:49 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time now for things that make you smile. Upbeat, positive thoughts, non-political, you know, count your blessings kind of a thing. Brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Good morning and welcome, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 9:52 and it's Monday and we're going to make it great. It's time for things that make you smile. Upbeat, positive thoughts that you share with us. Count your blessings kind of a thing, right? Even in tough times, there's things to be thankful for. That's kind of the premise. Brought to you by the best dentist in the whole world, Robin Larson Dental, 877-975-9825. I was getting excited because I have something that makes me smile.
You can hardly wait to hear yourself. Oh, wait a minute.
I hardly ever sell anything.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. I'm one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I buy high, I sell low.
See, I make that same mistake.
No, you're pretty good. You tell me about
a couple things,
the gun deals you make and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I'm not as good at it. What? So
really?
What? Yeah.
So I sold the hard top to my old Jeep, my JK.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because remember, I put that fancy convertible top on it and then, you know, pretty much gave it away when I traded it.
Right.
But I had the top still. And
I forgot.
I looked it up and they're like, used ones are like $1,800.
Oh, yeah.
And mine had a couple scratches on it, but it was really in great shape and I just wanted to get rid of it. So I sold it for $900.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Somebody got a good deal.
Yeah, they did. Oh,
they're smiling today.
Really nice guy. You know, I haven't had great luck with Marketplace. Just seems to bring out a lot of weirdos.
Well, you're right.
They're all like lowballers and you just can't take them serious. And so when this guy was serious, it's hard to say. He goes, well, I mean, are you going to hold it for me or not? Because I'm driving all the way from Daytona.
Oh.
You know?
Well, because people always put in their ad, will not hold, because they know what it's like. They're sitting there, and the person doesn't show. But if somebody's coming from Daytona,
turns out this guy is a firefighter.
Oh, that's awesome.
He helps with the track. The long distance running or whatever with the local high schools, cross
that's
country.
Awesome.
Helps with that. Major car guy.
Oh,
loves the old muscle cars.
Yeah.
I mean, really, and he loved to talk, you know?
Yeah.
And we were just,
that's awesome.
Yep. Really nice guy. Loaded it up in his truck and buckled it down. And really, it was just one of those rare, really a pleasurable experience.
But that is nice, because you're right. There's so many of those of that scenario that don't go well. Then they show up, want to beat you up on it, or they're beating you up on it before they've even seen it.
Or this poor guy that came 2 hours to buy the scooter I was selling. I got Robbie's scooter running.
I remember this.
I felt terrible. All of a sudden, it doesn't run. Long story short, it was just the spark plug arrestor inside that little plastic cap.
No.
It wasn't completely disconnected, so once in a while, it would start to start.
Right.
Anyway.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, pretty much gave that away to a kid. A couple $100, but...
Yeah, but it's gone. Good. You got room
it's
now.
Gone, exactly.
I headed out to the Oktoberfest event Saturday. It's out in Gainesville, and that was a lot of fun, a lot of great food, and Sheriff Ganey, ran into him. That was kind of fun.
And this was a big fundraiser for the Ronald McDonald House.
Exactly.
Did we get any numbers, or will we?
I'll talk to Tom, just kind of, because I was there like at noon, and it goes on for a while after that. So,
now, be honest.
Yeah.
You had at least two brats.
No, I had one.
And a chicken?
No. I had a brat, a pretzel, and some of the potato salad. I did get some chicken for my hot wife, Jen, because she was homesick, actually. So I took her some home.
Aww.
And since they gave me two pieces, I did eat one of the pieces later at the house.
That's okay.
When Jen had hers, so there we go.
I just know the brats are really, really good. It'd be hard to just have one if they're available.
Oh, I'm not saying the temptation wasn't there. there's no doubt. There's like... Well, you know, there's still, see Pot of Pow over there looking all smoky. This means there's another batch coming out, but I resisted.
Well, thanks to everybody who supported the event and who supports Ronald McDonald House, and we just appreciate that, and we thank you.
Yep.
All right. And that makes everybody smile, I hope, but we're not done yet. Coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun. That's brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Coming up. Hang on.
Dana Lash.
People are broke as hell.
Now, 10 p.m. nights.
They can't afford anything, and they can't afford anything because of this god-awful administration. They're stressing people out with the possibility of taxes.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Food banks in key swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin reporting an increase in demand. People waiting in lines for food. Several officials from food banks and organizations that work to end hunger explained to NBC that they have seen an increase and significantly higher than what they saw during the COVID-19 pandemic. They've seen a more than 50% increase at some places since 2021. Yeah, people, Americans, are hungry. Hopefully, they are hungry to have Donald J. Trump back. That's what we need. And that is your Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your whole family. Have a safe, great day. See ya.